Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Basis for the sermon this evening is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, taken from chapter 1 and also chapter 27. Here we see the bookends of our Savior Jesus' life. The announcement of his birth to his father Joseph, and then we look at Jesus' death as he hung on a tree. We'll read these verses. You can find them on page 955 and then 988 in your pew Bible. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And then from chapter 27. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely, he was the Son of God.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. What is it that makes it really seem to you that Christmas is finally here? There are a lot of things that happen around us at this time of year that make us see that Christmas is quickly approaching, but there probably is one thing in particular for you that makes you feel, yeah, now Christmas is finally here. For some, it's when the Christmas music starts getting played on the radio. It seems like sometimes it gets earlier and earlier, even at the beginning of November, that sometimes you can find radio stations that play that Christmas music. But for some, there's no better feeling than tuning the dial to those familiar Christmas songs and singing to your heart's content to your favorite Christmas tunes. For others, maybe it's when those first snowflakes begin to fall that make you feel, yeah, Christmas is right around the corner. Just a couple of weeks ago when we had our first snowfall there in Lafayette, and just the grass was covered with snow, but it did get me thinking that, yeah, winter is here. That means Christmas is quickly approaching. Maybe for others, it's when that holiday baking begins to happen. Especially when your Christmas cookies start being made and when you get out those special cookie cutters and the special decorations. That's when you say to yourself, finally, Christmas is coming because I have cookies to put in my cookie jar. Maybe for others, it's when this holiday shopping starts and when Black Friday or Cyber Monday come around, whatever you want to call it, and you start to fill out the list for your family and friends and start to purchase gifts to put under the tree. That's when you say to yourself, Christmas is coming soon. But when I talk to people as they prepare for Christmas, it seems like there is at least one thing that most families have in common that signals to everybody in that house, Christmas is soon approaching. And that's the place that the Christmas tree is found in your home. A lot of people have their own traditions when it comes to how your Christmas tree might be placed in your house and how it might be decorated. A lot of people have a special day where on the same day every year, this is the day that the Christmas tree gets decorated. For my in-laws, it was always December 23rd because children were all over at school in different places. And when everyone was home, that's when you could finally decorate the tree. Other people have a hard and fast rule about whether you're going to have an artificial tree or a real tree. Some people say, it's not Christmas unless I go to that tree farm and I get a tree cut down just to put in my living room for this special time of year. Other people have many different trees for their homes. They have different themes for each of their trees. I have one friend who has a tree that has just pieces of food that are decorating the tree. Other ones that have the ornaments that maybe their children had made on another tree. One tree for each room that you'll sometimes see in different homes. Lots of people have lots of different traditions, lots of customs that they have when it comes to decorating a Christmas tree. For my family at my house, we haven't established many traditions yet, but for my family when I was growing up, it was the same thing every year. Every year, the day after Thanksgiving, that Friday, we would get up early in the morning, drive to that Christmas tree farm, and the same thing would happen each year. My brother and I would try to beg our parents to get a tree a little bit taller, maybe just a foot taller this year, that would fit inside our open staircase in our home. And when finally my parents decided on a tree and put it on top of our van and we drove home, we'd get that tree secured in its place. And then my parents would get on the phone and call both sets of my grandparents and they'd come quickly to our house. Both my grandmas would sit in the same chair every year, unwrapping ornaments, handing them to my parents and I one by one. My brother and I would take turns either standing on the stairs or the ladder to decorate the top of the tree. And there were some ornaments in this chest of ornaments that my mom had that were our special ornaments. And it would always be a competition between my brother and I to see who could get the most of these special ornaments, and whoever got the most, well, they won Christmas that year. Same thing every year. And it brings a smile to my face to think about these many times that I decorated this tree with my family. And maybe you have similar traditions in your home, whether it's with your family now or maybe with your family growing up. Sometimes when I sit back and look at a tree that was decorated at my parents' house or even at my own, I just think about how many trees over how many years have marked the celebration of our Savior's birth for Christians in generations past. This Christmas tree that has helped people celebrate Jesus' birth, it's been a tradition in Christianity for centuries, really. Although it started long before even the Christians marked it as their own, there was a distinct time when this became a truly Christian thing, and this evergreen tree made us think about our Savior Jesus' birth. Many people even attribute the very first person to put lights on a tree to Martin Luther himself. The story is told that he was late at work writing a sermon, and as he walked home to his family's home, he looked at all the stars in a beautiful sky. And when he got home, he wanted to share that with all of his children, so he took some candles and lit them and placed it on a Christmas tree, and there we have Christmas lights. No matter what the history of the Christmas tree is, or no matter what your traditions for your family might be when it comes to decorating a Christmas tree, probably each one of you has the exact same feeling any time that tree has finally been decorated. There's a feeling of accomplishment, satisfaction when all the ornaments and lights are on and you stand back and you say, yeah, that's a beautiful tree. Just about everyone looks at a Christmas tree and the same thing happens. Maybe it's those memories that come flooding back of all the Christmas trees you've decorated before, and a smile comes across your face as you think about all those good times shared with family and shared with friends celebrating our Savior's birth. Can't help but look at that tree and smile. How different that is than those verses we read from Galatians and Deuteronomy this evening. When God said, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. The things that we put on a Christmas tree that we hang from its limbs often are things that have a lot of sentimentality, things that we love, things that our loved ones maybe have made that we put on that tree. And then you think about what God says about people that are hung on the tree, and there's no greater curse than being under God's curse and hanging under tree on a tree. No worse way to die than to be hung on that tree. Such contrast in emotions when you think about the smiles that come on your face when you think about a Christmas tree, and then the sorrow that comes over our face when you think about how Jesus was hung on a tree. It's kind of maybe like the contrast that Joseph felt when he discovered that his fiancée Mary was pregnant so many years ago. Normally the news of a pregnancy, it's news that's met with joy, anticipation at a new child to be born in this world, but not certainly for Joseph, because he knew he had never been with Mary. He knew that he wasn't married yet, and so he was trying to find a way to quietly divorce her to try to eliminate himself from this sticky situation. That news that is usually met with joy was then met with sorrow with him. But then when the angel appeared, it was news of joy again because his wife would give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But then think of how Mary must have felt when we read what happened in Matthew 27. The joy of having firstborn son, and then she had to watch him hang on a tree. Maybe not normal at this Christmas season to think about our Jesus, our Savior Jesus' crucifixion. When we think about our Savior being born and lying in a manger, our first thought isn't to think about his death on that cross. And yet the two, they go hand in hand. Because Jesus was born really just for one reason: to live under the curse of God. To hang on that tree and to bear the sins of the world. And so as we look at this Christmas story again this year and prepare our hearts for the miracle of what happened at Jesus' birth, that God became incarnate in human flesh and came to walk in this world among us, we think about all those familiar scenes of that Christmas story. Think about the angels that filled the sky and sang God's praises in a way that we can only imagine. Think about the joy and anticipation of those shepherds as they ran eagerly to go see what they had been told and then couldn't help but share with everybody else about what they had seen in that stable, in that manger. We even smile when we think about Mary and Joseph making that long trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And although as traumatic and as scary as it probably would have been to give birth in a stable, we still smile at the idea that Jesus was there with the animals and placed in a bed of hay. And yet when we smile and remember these events of Jesus' birth, it's also right to remember the events of Jesus' death that would happen just a few years later. Because that little baby in that manger was a child born in inevitability. God said long ago that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus had this one purpose: to come and live in this world, live under God's law as a human being, fulfill God's law perfectly, but then suffer the entire punishment that the sins of the world deserved. Jesus was born to die. To die on that cross, to hang on that tree. And so as you and I, as we look at that manger and we look at that baby Jesus, and as we hear those soft cries of those very first cries of that infant boy, we can't help but also hear the cries that Jesus cried out as he breathed his last on the cross. And as we hear those cries in his manger bed and on his deathbed, we remember that those tears were for you. Jesus cried those first tears in those mangers, in that manger, because he wouldn't let you remain lost. He came down and left his perfect home, that throne in heaven, and came to live in this world full of pain and sin that he knew would end on his death on the cross. He did it for you. And as Jesus cried out and breathed his last on the cross, he was doing it so that all your sins would be removed and that you could be with him forever. That always needs to be our focus, even as we look at Jesus born as a little baby, to know who Jesus really was and what he came on this earth to do. Jesus came to be a Savior. Even his name says it all. He was given the name Jesus because he would save you from your sins. So as we, this Christmas season, we marvel once again at the miracle of Jesus' birth, we say with the centurion who said at his death, surely he is the Son of God, surely he is my Savior. And now when we look at a Christmas tree, it still can be something that we look at with a smile across our face, even as we remember the tree that Jesus hung on. Because the cross, it doesn't give us sorrow anymore, only joy. Jesus is no longer hanging on that cross. Jesus is victorious, risen from the dead, and now seated once again in his glorious throne in heaven. Jesus' punishment is done. Your sins all removed. All that's left now is to bask in the joy that empty tree means for you. So gaze at that Christmas tree once again this year. See those evergreen needles. And remember the everlasting life that is truly yours. Because of Jesus' tree. The tree that he willingly went to die on to take away all your sins. And the tree that now stands empty because Jesus has risen indeed. And so too will you. Amen.